Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scout, once again joined by Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree.
Hello, Mark.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Always great to have you here. You know, there's the Taste of Buffalo. Many communities have their own taste events. And in Buffalo Spree's September issue, it's the Taste of the World. All about global cuisine in Western New York.
Well, as far as we could get with it, we only hit, I think, around 12 places, and there's lots more that we could have done. But, you know, we wanted to give at least a sampling.
We're not talking Taco Bell.
No.
Or Chinese from the local plaza storefront. You're profiling restaurants that feature authentic dishes.
That was the most important thing. All the dishes that we feature are not like they're prettiest dishes, maybe not their favorite, but the most authentic, the kind of dish that best represents that cuisine and the mission of the restaurant. And you know, according to the owners and the chefs who run the restaurants.
At one time, if one wanted Ethiopian or Vietnamese, you had to go out of town to find it.
Oh, sure.
Now that's not the case. How does Buffalo compare with other cities when it comes to global cuisine?
We compare very favorably, I believe. There had been many people bemoan the lack of really authentic, not Tex-Mex Mexican, but we've definitely crossed that barrier. And in terms of Chinese, it's just been an explosion of all different. I mean, when you talk about Chinese, there is no one Chinese cuisine. Of course, there are many. And we have examples of quite a number of the different provincial cuisines, and they're very authentic. I don't know what we can thank. Maybe UB is in large part to thank for that. So, and our Ethiopian restaurant that we have, Lucy's, is wonderful. We have really authentic Japanese ramen in Sato. And then there's this great German. I mean, I think we're really lucky.
Well, it's interesting because when I think of global fare, I think of Asian or Indian or Ethiopian.
Right.
But your special feature touches on Italian, German, and Greek cuisine, too. And I guess it's just that the European dishes have always been with us, and we sort of take it for granted, at least
I do. We've always had great Italian restaurants, but still, that is part of global cuisine.
Yeah.
We've always had, you know, not as many French restaurants, but I think we have a couple now. It's really sad that I was unable to reach out to Rue Franklin for this, and I think a lot of people miss it. But Le Creux is a wonderful addition on Connecticut Street.
Well, I've been to Black Forest Adler, Lombardo's in the town, but after reading your feature, I do want to sample Lucy Ethiopian. Because I think I've shared with you that in a trip to Washington in the 90s, I went to an Ethiopian restaurant there twice and really enjoyed it. And I do want to try Parker's Proper Fish and Chips.
Well, that's a really interesting story because that's an international company that is shipping their authentic Cornish pasties and pies and so on to all over the world, really, and to big-name places. And very few people in Buffalo even realize they exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
during a trip to England 5 years ago, you know, I enjoyed going to some of the London pubs and having authentic fish and chips as opposed to the fish fries we get here.
Well, I have a funny story about Black Forest Adler, though. They called me and didn't have a magazine for some reason. So I set that up with them. And then they also said, we thought this was going to come out in October and we're completely unprepared for all the business that we're getting. And I'm sorry. And I apologized.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. But, you know, it was interesting to read about how they prepare and that they're only open 5 hours, 5 days a week because they take the preparation so seriously.
Well, yes, and that was the whole thing. It had to be authentic. I mean, that was just the main thing. It wasn't like how hip it was or how trendy it was or anything. That, in fact, we weren't really looking for that. Although, I believe with Las Puertas, I think there you combine sort of a very forward-thinking, contemporary take on authentic South, you know, Mexican cuisine. So that's sort of an interesting mix.
Well, let's move on. The September issue has a wonderful piece on the 25th anniversary of Theater Talk on WBFO. Thanks so much.
You don't have to thank us. I mean, I've personally been listening to Theater Talk for many years. The theater people all love it. Tony Chase is a longtime friend of mine. We both wrote together at Art Voice for some years, so it was a natural thing.
What's so interesting, though, is that he and I had very different memories of how it started. And Donna Hoe called me up while I was vacationing in Rhode Island in early July, and I'm telling her my memory, and she says, that doesn't go with what Tony told me. And
it's very common.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
And I think what happened was a lot was happening before I was appointed news director. And in 1992, Tony came, did his scripted pieces, didn't like it. Somebody recommended Jim Santella to him, and I have to believe that they at least were talking on the phone and came up with the idea of a Theater Talk, because I do have that clear memory of Jim Santella calling me 25 years around this time saying, you know, we've got this show we'd like to put on the air. And within weeks, it was on the air because it was September 1992 that Theater Talk went on the air. So
it's really something that means so much to the theater community to have that kind of attention. And I think the great thing about it, too, is that Anthony brings this very large context of being a theater goer who visits New York regularly, London regularly, all over, and has this great sense of what theater is, what the entire theater scene is on a national, international basis. And he can sort of bring that perspective to Buffalo, to our theater scene.
He's remarkable.
Yes.
I'm sometimes stunned because I hear him and 1 week, and then I hear the next week and he jetted off to Los Angeles to see a show.
Yes.
And it's fantastic that he's able to do this and, you know, find the time to not only do this theater work but also his full-time job at Buffalo State.
Well, and what I like about listening to him, since I've been listening to him for so many years, is that I can always tell, regardless of what he says exactly, whether he really liked something or not. I can always tell.
Yeah.
And he manages to put very, very subtle sorts of word choices and descriptors that let you know where shortcomings might be without him even literally describing them. And I think that's great.
Yeah, because nobody wants to hear.
No, you don't want to hear negative. No,
yeah.
No.
But yet you're right. He will let you know if it doesn't meet his expectations.
But he never comes off. He always comes off as gracious, never even the least bit mean-spirited.
We're great. It's wonderful to have this program on the air and the small part I played 25 years ago. And I'm looking forward to the big party at the end of this month.
So are we. We're involved in it.
I heard you're doing the program.
Yes, we are. We do program books for actually so many theaters, so it makes sense that we would do the program book for this celebration.
Also in the September issue, you have a couple of articles that you've written personally on the art scene. And this is so wonderful because this church was threatened, Immaculate Conception, and it's been restored, and now it's going to be a venue for the arts.
A really interesting venue for the arts. When the I think the rectory part of that complex was taken over by a developer and apartments were built, but the church was not. The church was not chosen to be developed. So artist Dennis Marr came along and bought it, and he's been pretty quiet in there, you know, but he's been slowly working away, stabilizing it, but not entirely. It's not a big restoration. As you can see from the pictures, he's actually left some of the layers of the church's construction visible. If you go in, you can see, but it's watertight and everything, but you can see all the different layers of the ceiling, for instance. And then he's built out these really interesting spaces within it that will actually be classrooms for adult learners of carpentry and other kinds of artisan, crafty building techniques. And he's also working with University of Buffalo architecture students. So it's almost looks like a big art installation, but it's actually a working art installation that is also going to be an educational resource.
You also wrote about Wanderlust at the Anderson Gallery.
That is a very exciting exhibition that contains sort of, in the 60s and 70s, conceptual artists started doing projects, travel projects, or where they would, say, walk across a countryside and place rocks in a certain way, photograph them, or various other types of things that are experiential and have to do with what the artist is doing. and you know, not confined to the studio at all. So this is almost a retrospective of those, but also continues it right into 2017 with contemporary artists who are working in similar ways. And the most recent example many of the listeners would have seen is the skywriting of arrows. And I'm sure they must have wondered, why is someone skywriting arrows all over the West Side? I think it was mainly around there. And there are arrows that point east and west. And they have to do with sort of the border and directions, geography, and things like that. And that's like the first project, I think, that anyone has seen.
And the public was invited to take pictures and, yes, and submit them to the artist for possible inclusion in the exhibit.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that some of mine will, because it seemed like they were right over our house, so we took a whole bunch of pictures.
Elizabeth, as always, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.